have to tell us.
Okay, it's a week that is structured for high school students, and it's really just to learn more about God and grow in your relationship with God and leadership and just working with people and a bunch of lovely stuff like that.
Now, when we were talking earlier as well, you said about leadership, you realized something about leadership that you didn't know before, and what was that?
Like, yeah, well, like previously I thought that leadership was more of whoever has been leader before or who's the oldest or who thinks they have the best ideas or something like that. And I realized this week that everybody's their own kind of leader. Like some people are louder and speak their ideas, and some people are more quiet, but they still lead people in a different way. And it doesn't have to be the oldest person, it can be whoever. Like everybody has equal ideas and everybody can be a leader.
Thanks. Now, we saw a photo earlier of some kids rolling around. What on earth was going on there?
I think our creative idea to overcome the obstacle. They gave us an initiative, which is like a team building exercise. And we had to carry a bucket of Kool-Aid, which apparently was toxic waste, and we couldn't spill it. And we had to carry it halfway across the camp, 22 of us, I think, and we had 150 steps for the whole group. We had to carry it across the camp. So we thought, well, why take steps when we can roll? Yeah. But then it started raining.
Oh, wait, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't there something that happened just before that?
We were trying to come up with a way to get across camp, and we were getting agitated because we were all hungry, because they told us we couldn't have supper till we finished. So we were all getting hungry, and that made us tired, and that made us agitated with each other. So we decided to pray, and so we kind of all huddled together, and we prayed, and we're like, oh, God, please give us patience. And then it started raining. So, I don't know, it just kind of showed us that, when you ask for patience, God gives us opportunities to learn to be patient instead of directly patience.
Thank you, Chloe. That's great. And that is so true, because we as leaders were sitting around there and we were seeing things were getting out of hand, people were really getting antsy, and we had to say, look, you can't have supper until you completed this. And then they... And then someone said, let's pray. And as they huddled around and were praying, it was literally like, Lord, please give us patience. It started raining. I was just like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But their attitudes were incredible from there on out. I mean, it was pouring rain. Every one of them, I think, some of their best Gucci clothes or whatever was ruined because they, if they were just rolling around in the mud for about another hour and a half, pouring rain, but laughing and joking, and that, in fact, was one of the evenings that just changed things around at MDT, and it was just brought the group together so wonderfully. So thank you for sharing with us, Chloe, and we're going to hear a couple more testimonies, but right now, we're going to sing another song it's a song about economy, and it's called I'm Trading My Sorrows. This is the best deal ever. We trade our sorrows and we trade our shame for the joy of the Lord. So won't you stand with us, and we're going to sing this together.
Okay, this is taking me by a bit of surprise because it was last night that Sean gave me notice with regards to what I'm going to be doing in the service.
It's how I roll.
Yeah. So, excuse me, I am actually quite a shy person. I'm not very loud, outgoing, or anything like that. Okay. I apologize ahead of time if I say anything that could be construed as offensive. I'm South African, and I believe there's some phrases in that we do say that. Check Sean, he's getting worried over there. He's like, oh no, I gave him the mic. Anyway, I've been told I've got 4 minutes, and I do believe that there's a saying, blessed are the short-winded, for they'll be invited back. So I definitely do want to be invited back. But it started about 8 months ago, I think. Myself and Sean, we just got to chatting, and he basically made a joke, and he said, why don't you come over and spend the summer here? And I do a lot of what the Quest does. I do that in South Africa. I work with young guys, do leadership training and life skills using adventure. And so he gave me the opportunity, and it was a joke, and I was like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. And then it was probably in about November that God really spoke to me and said, I want you to go over to Canada. And of course, my immediate reaction, is, okay, Canada, right. So I started praying about it, submitted it to my pastor over there, and the more I prayed about it, the more God really put on my heart to come over here. And of course, you know, you get this whole thing about, okay, cool, you're going over to Canada, God's calling you, so obviously, you know, you're the man with the power for the hour type of thing, going to go over and touch kids' lives and all of that. And I can honestly say, you know, this experience has been such a humbling experience. The caliber of youth that have come through that camp, and I'm talking right from the adult camp of like 60 to 80 years, all the way down to, well, we haven't done intermediate or the juniors, I believe, but it's just been such an incredible experience. I just really want to thank you guys for the opportunity. It's really touched my life in the fact that, you know, the culture that this church and other churches around have with regards to just empowering the youth is amazing. In South Africa, I'm ashamed to say, but our churches, we have a bit of an attitude that, you know, the tithes and the offerings and that, it comes and it goes to the main sanctuary, and then if there's a little bit left over, then that gets siphoned off to the children's ministry or to the youth ministry, but it's almost like an afterthought. And it's just so incredible to be able to come here and to see such a culture of a desire and a heart to see the youth touched. I've been challenging the youth everywhere I go with regards to, they have no clue how lucky they are to take for granted that they've got a campsite waiting for them at a lake that they can go and spend almost 2 months just really being touched by God and being challenged. It's incredible. And I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity. It hasn't been easy, and like I said, it's been humbling, especially last week. I think I got a cabin of 12 ADHD full-on leaders that all wanted to lead, and I was like, oh dear Lord. But it was incredible. And I just want to thank Sean for the opportunity and the quest, and you guys, because ultimately the quest exists because of the parents in this place and in Saskatchewan. I remember when I first got here, it was Carissa. She looked at me and she goes, okay, so God called you from South Africa to come to Saskatchewan. I was like, yeah, pretty much it. She's like, why Saskatchewan? And I my life has truly been blessed. And I'm really slowly but surely growing and falling in love with your country. It is amazing. The lakes, the fresh water, the people. It's just, there is such a culture here that I hope I can be, you know, be blessed enough to take some of that back to South Africa with me and impart that and empower that to some of the guys over there. And I'm definitely stealing a couple of ideas from the quest and that. But yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And it's just a huge, huge privilege to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
I think Canadians are always wary when a South African stands up and says, I'm falling in love with the place, because they usually end up staying. So, be careful. And this is Stephanie Summick. Unlike Wes, she actually is really quiet, so, and very nice and sweet, and we love her to bits. And she just has something that she would like to share with you as well.
Hi. I'm just here to share that what camp has done for me as a staff member and a camper. And I just feel like every time I went to camp, I felt so loved and empowered. And especially the encounters where you went to worship and sing, there was always one encounter that really changed me. And, you know, you go back to Saskatoon or wherever you live, and, you know, you go to church every day, but you kind of forget about God and everything. But every time I went to camp, I felt so renewed. And after camp, I felt like such an overwhelming feeling of love. And I felt like I really, really grew. So I don't know if I'd be here like without camp. And even though I come from a Christian family, I still didn't really feel like, I didn't really feel like what you feel inside when you really feel like empowered and stuff. And every time I went to camp, it really felt really well and good. And it just felt like amazing. So I think it really changes you, and, you know, you can't really get that in, like, everyday life at school and work and everything like that. So that's what I'd like to share.
Thank you so much.
My name's Kyle Ackerman. I'm from Northern Ontario, in a little town called Iroquois Falls near Timmins. In other words, the end of the world. No one knows about it. Yeah, I grew up basically in a Christian home, yada, 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 standard life. I believed in God my entire life. I accepted Jesus when I was 6 into my heart. And I just lived a standard life. I went to church. I prayed every week at Grace, all that stuff, you know. Just the typical person. I went to school, all that stuff. But I never really felt like deep with God. I never felt that real relationship with God. Even though I went to church every Sunday and I went to youth groups and all that stuff, I never really felt close to God. Like, I knew him and I knew he was there all the time, but it never really clicked with me in a way. And a few weeks ago, I came to camp. I came to Quest. I was looking to work at MBC in Muskoka's, and it turns out my parents knew the Seegers here, and they're good friends of them in Bible college, and so they said, well, we need a lifeguard at camp, so I came up here. And it was really good. I really felt happy there, like, for the first week or so, or first 2 weeks, I was doing my job good, and then came MDT. Surprise, surprise, turns out I was going to be a part of it. That was unexpected. That was fun. It was really tough. The first 2 days or so, it was hard. It's like, it was tough. And then there's one night where it was just, there was an encounter. A lot of people were there, and like, everybody was sharing their testimonies and stuff, and it really clicked. It was amazing. It was really hard. And I learned that, everybody has troubles in their life. Everybody has little things in their life which they sort of hang on to, little sinful things here and there. And we had read a verse here in Galatians. I'm trying to think about trust, trusting in God. It says, living by the Spirit's power. It's Galatians 5:16-26. It says, so I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have said before, that anyone living in that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. Basically, here in that verse, it's sort of a guideline of what to do and what not to do. And in there, guaranteed, there is something which is really going to, that's your weakness in there. And so in my life, I trusted God, but I never really felt close to them. And I felt that when you give your heart to God, you're giving your heart 100% to God. God wants all of you. He doesn't want half of you. You can't be two-sided. There's no worshiping the world and worshiping God. You have to trust him 100%. And there was a few things in my life which I didn't like, and I sort of held on to, even though you know they're wrong, but you do them anyways. And you really can't feel close to God like that. So I came to MDT, and I learned that, and I renewed myself. I gave myself 100% to God. You can't trust him 90%. You can't trust him 95%. You have to trust him 100% with all of your heart. And then you can really have an experience with God. And that's, I think, what I learned at camp so far.
Okay, thank you, Kyle. That's great. Thanks for the offering. God, every good gift that we have comes from you. And we ask that you would use these, our offerings, to further your kingdom here on earth. For we know that is your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I know that it is 10 to 11, and don't worry, it's Camp Sunday. Is this really... It seems to be making funny noises, but then that's just me. You guys can go and have a seat. Thanks. We'll come up. So this is Camp Sunday, and I can honestly say that the message that I have for you is really short. So you don't have to be sweating. I thought I'd be really clever and use the Bible on my phone, except I forgot on Sunday mornings I've got every second parent phoning me and saying, hey, what time does camp start? So I'll try not to actually answer it. As I was standing up here, my phone was ringing. I was like, oh dear. I'm going to be speaking from two passages this morning. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but the challenge that I'm going to leave with you is going to be from Romans chapter 12. Not verse 1 and 2, but from verse 9 to 11. So if you want to open your Bibles, there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, one of the most well-known passages, both in Christendom and also just in the secular world, a picture of what love is. At the Quest, our mission and our goal and what we believe in, what we stand for, what we want to do is to draw everyone that comes through our gates at least one step closer to Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. That's the mandate that's been given us from the churches. That's what we've embraced, and that's what our hearts are set on. Now, the choice is left with whoever comes through the gates. They will be drawn one step closer. They will know about Christ through the songs, the attitudes of staff, the preaching of His Word. They can take one step, or they can run into His arms. That is the choice that they have. But our mission is to do that. So everything that we do at the camp is to basically help support that statement. So for our summer months, all the retreating that happens, everything that goes on there is so that we can make sure that we have an excellent program that honors God and draws people closer to Him. Now, our theme for the summer comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and our theme for the summer for Quest is what love can do. Our theme is a statement, it is a reminder to us of what the love of God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And we have been unpacking and exploring this word love. Because in order to understand what God's love has done for us, we need to understand what love is. Now, we see love represented in the person of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we just need to be reminded. And so 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us how love is patient. It reminds us how love is kind, how it is gentle. How it, you know, is not easily angered, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. All of those things, which are just breezed over, are really deep truths about love. So it's a reminder what the love of God is. It's also, our theme is also a challenge to each and every person to accept that love and to share it with others. Because that love, the love of Christ, is a gift that is given away. And so it's a challenge to accept that gift. And in doing that, we do have to share it with others. It is impossible. That love is too big, and we have found too incredible to keep to yourself. It is an infinite love from an infinite source. It cannot remain in a finite being. And when it comes and when we come into contact with it, we find we are changed. But our theme for the summer is also a reminder of what this love has done to change the world, and it's a challenge to us to go out and do the same. And so I just wanted to also just share with you some of my hopes and fears about this summer as the director of the Quest. Last year was my first year, and as anyone would expect with your first year, you're running around like, I guess, a chicken without a head, not knowing what is going on, feeling totally out of your depth, not knowing what's right, what's wrong, what to do, what you can do, what you can't do. And so last year was a real growth experience, but I was quite nervous going into the summer about would that be repeated. And so obviously much time was spent searching God's will and searching the scriptures and also just hearing from the Lord that this is the theme that he wanted us to do, what love can do. And so I have a few stories of you about our staff that have shown me what love can do this year. What we have done so far is we have used some of the staff and the counselors, cabin leaders, and other staff to share their stories of love, what God has done for them with the lives of the children and that. And they've put together some of the most incredible encounter times. They're called encounter because that is where we want to have a real encounter with the living God. An encounter is a kind of almost like a face-to-face meeting. And that is so important with us that our times spent in the morning or the evening at the Quest are times where we encounter God. And I've just been able to see how things have been handed over to them, and they have just taken this mantle and run with that. But also I've seen the love of God at work in many different conflict situations. And as you can imagine, any time when you're working with a whole group of people and you're not sleeping much, and it's very busy and everyone has got very important particular jobs to do, conflict situations can arise real easy. But I've just seen how the love of God has overridden selfish desires, fights that could have erupted, and people have just come together, and the staff have just come together to just kind of push aside any kind of conflict, deal with it, but deal with it in a loving, patient, caring, gentle kind of way. And I've also seen how the love of God has just been extended to us as a group. And when we've been able to press on when completely exhausted, and always have a smile and a kind and a gentle word for either a child that just needed it or was missing his parents, or just another staff member who was just too tired and felt they couldn't go on. It's just been the most incredible encouragement. One of the demonstrations of this was just one of the encounter evenings that we had. And I didn't help plan this. I just kind of put the people together, and we said, look, you need to run with this and you need to go with it. And it was just an incredible time where they demonstrated, just as Christ demonstrated with his disciples, what it means to be a real servant. And we had an evening of just washing one another's feet. And in this day and age, we don't do that very often. It just almost seems odd. And I know for many of the people who were involved, it just seemed like an odd thing to do. But there is not much. There is. It's a very humbling thing to wash someone's feet or have your feet washed. And at camp, feet can get pretty nasty. And it was just a wonderful way of expressing, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to care for you. And knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ, as the creator and sustainer of the universe, did this very same thing, was very humbling and wonderful. Well, I'm giving you these stories, and I'm telling you these stories hopefully to remind you and to affirm your walk with the Lord, and just to let you know that he is working in a very real way still, and the people sitting here are just proof of it, and the stories that are going back from the camp to the homes and the parents that are writing in and saying, my kids have had an incredible time, thank you, what has been going on? It is just because of the grace of God and the love of God that has been evident in their lives. Now, how has all this stuff been possible? Well, the passage that I just wanted to leave with you as a challenge comes from, as I said, Romans chapter 9. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. You can read it from any translation you want, and they're all going to be pretty similar. But we found this one was just great for us. These few verses 9 to 11 from Romans chapter 12, have been a challenge to us on an ongoing basis. And it's also been a benchmark by which we can measure ourselves. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. We are told in the Word of God to not just pretend to love others, but to really love them. And what we had to find out, for some, and maybe it was the hard way, but we really had to find out that you cannot pretend to have the love that is spoken about in God's Word. You need a touch from the living God. You need God to pour His life and His love into you so that it can come out. Because if you're working in the same environment or you're seeing the same people every day for 15, 16 hours a day, all pretenses are gone. We get to see who the real person is. And if you're just pretending to love, it's going to be spotted a mile away. But God in His grace and His mercy has just poured out His love on the group that is up at the Quest and that are here now. And we have seen people love one another. I have seen people love one another with genuine affection. But it also means to hate what is wrong. And Kyle mentioned that earlier about some of the sins and some of the things that is in our lives which we so often can just hold on to or perhaps want to hold on to. But if we are filled with the love of God, there will rise up in us a righteous or a holy anger against that which is wrong, that which we know is not pleasing to God. And that what is spoken about there, to hold on to what is good, those things which we know that are good, that are pleasing to God, and just hate those which are not. And then also to love one another with genuine affection. It's easy, I love the way the New Living Translation puts that, because it's easy to say I love you, and especially in a Christian environment or a Christian work environment, or it's easy to say in a family I love you, but in the real world when all the chips are down and all the bets are off, how easy is it to really be affectionate to people all the time? Once again, impossible unless you have the love of God and the life of Christ running through your veins. You cannot fake it. You cannot pretend to do it. It's only with God's help that you can. And just to honor one another, I've been fortunate to see people just lifting each other up over these past 6 to 8 weeks. And it's been incredible. And my prayer and our prayer corporately as staff is that when we leave this place, this idea and this concept, this truth about love would be so ingrained in us that we would continue to honor one another. And that means looking at someone else and going, you're better than me. I'm not better than you. I'm less than you. I want to serve you. Once again, the picture of the servant, so the servant king, Jesus Christ, telling us to do that, but we always forget. And then lastly, which has really been great, not to be lazy. It says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. For camp, that is a great verse. And especially for a director, because you don't want people to be lazy. You don't want to be lazy yourself, and you can't be lazy, because if you are, someone else is going to be picking up the slack. But that's how it works in life as well. God wants us as His ambassadors to work hard and to serve the Lord enthusiastically. Again, totally impossible to do, well, for me. On my own. I need the inspiration of Christ and the love of Christ pouring through me so that I want to serve, that I want to go out, that I want to do what is pleasing to God. And so Romans 12 verse 9 to 11 has been our staple food for the summer. It's the way we measure what we're doing with each other and how we're doing it and how we're working with the children. And I would challenge you to accept that as well, to read that passage again and to know that that love is possible only through Jesus Christ, through His forgiveness and through His empowering love. So let's just pray together, and we have one final song we'd love to do with you. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is true, that it is real, and that it is living. And we thank You, God, that the only way we can truly love, the agape love that the Bible speaks about, is to have Christ dwelling in us. And so I pray that if there is anything that is missing from our lives, if there is anything that is replacing or anything that we are choosing over you, that you would convict us of that now. That you would remind us where we need to be reminded and convict us where we need to be convicted. Lord, prepare our hearts so that we might serve and love you and love one another with genuine affection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.